The Queer Screen Film Festival is taking the Mardi Gras season to a new high with a line of provocative and powerful films to dazzle your screens. One of them is Rebels on Point. Now, think drag, male ballerinas, comedy, riots, and more. And joining us all the way from Montreal to tell you more is director Bobby Jo Hart. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Sophie. Hello, Australia.
I know. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from Montreal.
Oh, et t'as très bien dit ça. Yeah. You really pronounced it well. I'm impressed, Sophie. Montreal. Have you been here?
No, but I did study French for 6 years.
It shows.
Well, this film, though, it's a docudrama about the male ballerinas of Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. For people who don't know, who are they?
The Ballet Trocaderos came to Montreal like 5 years ago, and I saw an ad in the newspaper, and I just saw these guys with this fabulous makeup in tutus, and I thought, who the heck are they? I mean, I really had no idea who they were. Mm. And then I just did a little research over the next few minutes, just Googled them, and realized they'd been around almost 40 years at that point. And I thought, how the hell do I not know about them? And so that's really the genesis of how all my films have kind of come to be over the last 20 years since I started making films. And it's just kind of the wow factor, or, you know, WTF, you know, that people don't know about people or a way of life. And I realize they're also really, you know, marginalized communities as well, that I'm really passionate about bringing their lives and their stories and their passions to a greater, greater audience, a wider audience, I should say. So I called them the next day in New York, their office, and I talked to the artistic director, Tori Dobrin, who's actually, you'll meet in the film if you go see it at the Mardi Gras Film Festival. And I asked him if I could go backstage in Montreal at our venue here, Place des Arts, and he said, okay. So I brought my camera by myself, I filmed backstage, and that ended up, interestingly enough, being the opening scene of the film. And, you know, almost 5 years later, here we are, and I've had this incredible journey with them around the world and following their lives on stage and off, and their families, and it's been an honor.
Yeah. How was it kind of traveling with them and seeing this side of them that no one else probably would see? I'm sure it'd be very insightful and surprising at times.
Well, I mean, it is. It's so fantastical, that, you know, fantastic. Just seeing these men in this makeup and in huge eyelashes and in drag ballet, and it's hard to imagine the human beings behind it. And I didn't study film; I studied international relations. So I realized that I'm coming into documentary in a different frame of mind, where I'm looking at building bridges that celebrate our shared humanity through film, and really, that's what I discovered when I went backstage with them or into their private lives, was once you strip off the makeup and the costumes and all of the characters, they're these lovely, amazing young men with dreams like the rest of us have, with families like the rest of us have, with, you know, who fall in love, who have highs and lows, who must tap into their reserves of resilience and determination to overcome the inevitable obstacles that we all face in our lives. And that's really the essence of what I discovered. And yes, there are moments where the tutu's not, you know, quite placed correctly, or, you know, they're rushing to get the makeup on, and one wonderful other moments backstage. But I would say that's what I'm ultimately drawn to, is the humanity of these amazing dancers. And of course, you're going to see them in the studios when they're rehearsing, and I mean, and, you know, trying on point shoes at this, you know, place in New York, which specializes in point shoes, that is now, you know, supplies the Ballet Trocaderos and makes up to a, you know, I won't say what size point shoe, but you have to watch the film to see. But, you know, just so many wonderful moments.
Yeah. This is your first film about men. So what was it about this story that kind of ticked you over going, yes, I'm going to follow this story?
Well, you know, when I started doing films 20 years ago, I honestly didn't think, oh, I'm going to be a documentary filmmaker and do films about girls and women. That's my mission in life. I just realized in retrospect that, you know, I grew up a bit marginalized. You know, my family, I grew up in Southern California, you know, beautiful California, but, you know, with a family that had very little money. We were often on food stamps and very trying times often. And I felt marginalized in a lot of ways. My family moved a lot, and we were often in different schools and different homes and different communities, and just feeling accepted and feeling valued and feeling that self-esteem that's so vital to being, you know, a success within yourself in life. I struggled with that a lot growing up. And so I think I naturally gravitate towards people that also have had those similar experiences, whether they were similar to mine or not. I mean, the Valley Trocaderos to me, I just, like I said, I saw, like, beneath that makeup and the costumes, I just thought, you know, where did they come from? How could they have made it to this point to be a professional ballet dancer? Because that's what the Trocaderos are. I mean, yes, they are. They do parody of Russian Imperial Ballet, but all of these dancers are classically trained in the best ballet schools. And many of them are trailblazers in their countries because they're like the United Nations of dance. I mean, they're from South Africa, Cuba, South America, Australia. I mean, the first night that I filmed, actually, that is the opening scene of the film, there's an Australian dancer there. He doesn't dance anymore with the company because after that, I never saw him again. It was the end of his career, but he is there in like a prince outfit, you know, rushing on stage. And so I just really felt, a kinship with them. I just felt connected to them because I wanted to bring their stories to a greater audience and to connect them and to, you know, for lack of a better word, to normalize their experience, because we're all human beings. We all have different lives, different experiences, and to celebrate that.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Wonderfully.
A wandering, meandering way.
But you're cracking open issues that these ballerinas have to face in the industry and beyond. I mean, like most dancers, they have to deal with aging bodies, injury, and then on top of that, they also have to go through the AIDS epidemic and everything else. How did you kind of explore these issues?
Well, I luckily had an amazing editor, Catherine Legault, who really helped me so much to work through all of the footage, because we were trying to juxtapose the cinema verite story of just following them behind the scenes. I mean, my co-producer, and who happens to be my husband, Robbie Hart, also worked very closely with me on the film, and he shot scenes for me when I was at home with our daughter in varied places, including Japan. So it was really a team effort to bring all of these elements together. But I credit so much my editor, Catherine Legault, because it was a real challenge to blend this cinema verite story with the archives and with, I mean, the story about the AIDS epidemic and how it affected the dance community, including the Trocaderos, to me is a vital part of their story and their evolution. And so how to weave that into the film was a real art. And I credit my editor for helping find the lot, you know, the little synopses that connect, which you'll see in the film. You know, they're trying on point shoes, and the point shoe people talk about going to Japan and how their feet are going to swell, and suddenly we're in Japan. And then there's a moment in Japan where there's a photo about, you know, that brought our artistic director back in time when he saw this photo about certain dancers that survived and didn't survive based on this photo that they took in Japan, which I won't tell more about because you'll see it in the film. But it was really my, you know, working with my editor that we really worked so hard to craft connections that would feel seamless when you watch the film, but it was really a lot of work and worth the effort because that's such an important part of the story.
Yeah, it sounds like a very emotional journey. Were there moments when you were like, this is too much, I have to step back a little bit?
I mean, yes and no. I would say the moments I wanted to step back were, I mean, honestly, the story, I never felt creatively or connecting with these dancers and the dance company. I never felt that like I really wanted to step back. I wanted to step closer to them because I began to care so much about them and care so much about their families and how much they'd gone through and the obstacles they'd overcome to get where they are, being this incredible ballet company that they are. I mean, they do like 100 shows a year around the world. They've brought a gay sensibility to so many countries around the world. So, you know, I would say it's the funding part that's the most difficult for documentary filmmakers, is feeling exhausted when you've got such an amazing story and you don't have the financing to get you there. So that's part of it, but not all of the reason, because I shot, I'd say 80% of the film by myself with the camera, by myself with the company. I had amazing also cinematographers that came with me, some shooting cinema verite style with me and often shooting the performances while I was backstage alone with my camera running from dressing room to dressing room, which was a riot. And, experimenting with the... oh, what's that little camera? The GoPro. Experimenting with a little GoPro that we brought to the UK for one of their performances. And, you know, the crew backstage all being so fabulous to try to rig it up, you know, and get it way up in the sky and say, okay, let's just try this out and see how it works. And, you know, and then it ends up being several times in the film where you'll see this like bird's eye view of the dancers, you know, in which is so great because you see this geometric form moving around the stage. And also it's really, it shows in a different angle, the brilliance of their parody as well. And the choreography that leads to the parody, which leads to the audience laughing and feeling so much joy around the way that they approach ballet and the way they make fun of it, but they're really, they have such respect for Russian Imperial Ballet and the parody they do, as you'll see from some of the dancers that dance in traditional companies like ABT in New York, that have such massive respect for them.
Mm. Well, it sounds like a jolly good time. Can't wait to see it. But you also have another project in the works, this time about female rock stars.
Yes, I do. My daughter is 13, who you might hear in the background running around with a sleepover here with her girlfriend, loves music. And I was looking for a new acoustic guitar for her a couple years ago on the Taylor Guitar website. And I stumbled across a part of the website. It's called Stories. And I clicked on it and it came up with one of the stories was this lead guitarist named June Millington, of this all-girl rock band from the 70s called Fanny. And it went on to tell about the story and the 5 albums they released with Warner Music and Reprise Music. And I just thought, oh my God, I have no idea who these women are. And I was pissed off. Mm. And it was a similar feeling in some ways about the Ballet Trocadero. Like, they're coming to Montreal. They've been around almost 40 years and, you know, traveled all these countries. And I thought, how the heck do I not know about them? And if I don't know about them, well, gosh, everybody should know about them because they've done so much. They're so groundbreaking. Mm. So I contacted them, and the band is all now in their late 60s. And interestingly enough, last year they got a record deal to get back together, write new material, and release a new album, which is coming out next month. Wow. And it's called Fanny Walked the Earth. The original band is named Fanny. And the new album is called Fanny Walked the Earth because it's a little tongue-in-cheek about them, you know, being walking dinosaurs on Earth. And so you can actually Google it in Australia and see Fanny Walk the Earth. And if you can pre-order their album that's coming out March 2nd. and you'll get their new the track is called Lured Away, and it's amazing. You get that. You can download it for free when you pre-order the album. So highly recommend you do that. And the I'll be continuing to film with the band through the release and a concert tour this year. And yeah, check them out. And the film will be coming next year, late next year, once I finish filming and editing. But for now, I mean, please check out the Trocaderos. They've been in Australia, and I know they want to come back to Australia. So, you know, please make some noise so they can come back, because I know they want to.
Oh, I'm sure we'll, you know, we'll welcome them with open arms. We cannot wait. But Bobbi Jo, thank you so much for joining us here on at 2SER.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Australia.
That there was a Bobbi Jo Hart calling in from Montreal. You can catch Rebels on Point next Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Mardi Gras Film Festival at Event Cinemas George Street.